Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Ryan Davis episode. A little background information on Ryan. I met him on the Tinfoil Hat Conspiracy Theory podcast. Had a great time. I've done it twice now. And my favorite part of his episode is when we were talking about the Mandela Effect. So thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. How you doing there, Stan? You having a good day? Okay. We have a very special guest tonight. Tinfoil Hat's very own, Ryan Davis.
Steve!
Thanks for coming. Love you too, man.
It's an honor. Thanks.
Yeah, there's some weird...
Tell me about it, dude.
There's some weird activity going on where I live right now.
What is it going on today?
Well, I'm not going to disclose where I live, but in the neighbor's backyard, there used to be a shed. It was a creepy shed. It was like on some
Blair Witch. Sheds are creepy.
Yeah, it was a shed, and there used to be a mattress in there. I know because I used to, the man that lived there was a 93-year-old actor named Colin Drake. Hmm. So they found, my neighbors found bones.
Human bones.
We don't know. I'm not an archaeologist or anything, but they found bones and
right
just
there.
And right like literally 10 minutes before you came, the news, NBC news.
I saw that.
Yeah, when you're leaving. So
did you interview? They know they had a rock star?
I was just trying to figure out what was going on, and then while you were in here, my girlfriend mentioned that she found some writings from Colin Drake in our closet. So I, you know, because since we're into the paranormal, I wanted to make this a paranormal weird conspiracy theory one, you know, because it's fun to do stuff like this. This is from Colin. I don't really remember even having this, but I did look after his dog Dolly.
So this is like a script he wrote?
I don't know what it is. So if you could read a couple.
Last two paragraphs.
What was that? I said Colin Drake is the guy that lived where the
an old timey actor. Would I know him?
Yeah.
From
what was the last movie he did?
Sherlock Holmes.
But Sherlock Holmes. He was a very well versed actor. Like he did commercials. I remember even when I used to go into his apartment, he'd be like, come here. I had my day in the sun. Look, you know, and he was like showing me all these like.
Don't you love old timers like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, like he used like old school Hollywood. He was like, he showed me his headshots. He showed me a couple other things, but then I didn't realize I had that, and that's written by
Colin.
Well,
this is a little concerning, man, because, all right, I'm just going to read it.
Yeah.
Respect, Colin, if you can hear me. Yeah. Respect to this. Yeah, mental respect. Telepathy, a soul passing over. I have been given many explanations, but I myself have none. Why and how, 100 miles away, I only half conscious, half precise moment heard my dog's last earthly bark is a mystery to me, but that's the way it happened. Maybe those are dog bones.
Wait, say that again?
It sounds like he's confessing to maybe hearing his dog bark for one last time in the distance of his memory. Did he ever talk about a dog?
It wasn't Dolly, because I took care of Dolly. It wasn't Dolly, but he always had other dogs. And my memory fits me well right now, his daughter, well, not his real daughter, but the daughter that I had to deal with when I was taking care of Dolly, mentioned another dog. And he would,
I heard a story where he would just throw this dog across the room. So, I mean, that's basically kind of a confession.
Yeah.
Because he signed it, and there's the address.
And then he hid it over here.
I don't know how I got, because when Colin passed away, rest in peace, Colin, I took Dolly, because I'm like, dude, like, I'll take care of the dog. I had Dolly for like 2.5-3 years.
Damn.
And that green army thing that my TV's on, there's a couple things in here that are Colin's, and maybe, because the daughter was like, hey, do you want to take some of the stuff? We're going to throw it away, you know? And that's how she presented me with Dolly. When Colin passed, she was like, I was dealing with her, and she was like, hi, did you want to take Dolly? Because if you don't, we're going to euthanize her.
Jeez.
And I'm like,
too many options, death or life?
Yeah. So, I mean, she was a weird lady in herself. Like, I would find, like, empty Rossi, you know, like the wino wine,
oh,
Rossi.
Yeah. In the box. Oh, no, Carlo Rossi?
In the ball.
Yeah, dude.
She had those empty ones of that hidden in the where he lived.
You know Carlo Rossi? He also owned Thunderbird and Night Train. You ever drink Night Train back in the day?
Oh, I couldn't handle that. But I messed with it. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't mess with Night Train.
Bum wines that we used to be.
Yeah, Mad Dog. I messed with Mad Dog 50-50. But we're both sober now.
Yes, indeed.
Do you mind... Bryce, can you give the manuscript back? Can you read the first page? I'm just interested now. I know how it ends.
So this thing's titled,
okay.
And Yet.
Okay.
Is this life of ours merely a dream from which we will be, by a process of metamorphosis called death, evolve into a sphere of reality where a pedestrian will be reincarnated? Do we actually exist at all? Or are we all fleeting thoughts in the universal mind?
He's
this is an old time. This is typed.
Dude,
this is not. Like,
I know,
but they didn't make paper like this.
Wait,
anymore.
Are there notes in there? We'll get into that. Let's go. Keep going. This is crazy.
Catholics, Muslims, Zionists, Mormons, Christian Scientists, Taoists, Scientologists. However, groups may choose to label themselves, though they may set themselves apart from each other in our most principles and differ greatly in practice. All of them are united in one belief. Our bodies are but shells housing immortal force.
Dude,
this is kind of like with the AI talk that we were talking about on our podcast.
Keep going. There's notes. We'll get into that. We're going to get into all that.
A recipe.
Yeah.
I have always been a member of the Doubting Thomas faction. I have never been fully conceived that our span of existence from conception till death is anything more than just that. A span of existence, and all the rest is silence.
Dude, what he's talking about here, have you ever heard of the Hindus' concept of Maya?
Yeah, I've heard of it, but so, refresh my memory.
I have a chicken named Maya. I don't mean to keep on doing
that, okay.
But it's kind of cool looking.
So
my chicken's named Maya, and I've had her for a long time. She's lived for a while, and she came with that name. She was a house chicken. Someone raised her. I started studying Hinduism, and I realized that my chicken was named after the concept of magic. Magic, Maya means illusion. So they believe that this entire existence that we're living in is a giant illusion.
Yeah.
Much like nowadays, the idea of simulation theory is a hologram.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Keep going. I like what you're doing right now.
So the whole idea is, I was raised like, you know, I'm like white suburban kid from like, you know.
I went to Christian camps too.
I was raised Christian, but I always thought there was something cool about like the East, the way the gods were blue and Ganesh had an elephant head and Shiva just looked like a straight up rock star.
So like Hinduism, like from India.
So Hinduism is considered, it's not even considered a religion. Mm. It's like the oldest philosophy, if you will, mm-hmm. because they believe in multiple gods as opposed to one god. But they understand that the whole idea is there's the Brahman and the Atman. And Brahman is like the all god.
Yeah.
And the Atman is like a little lower, but it's the energy that connects us all.
Yeah.
So Brahman said to Atman, I want to play a game. I'm going to chop you up into a million pieces, and you have to put yourself back together again. So we each have a piece of the Atman in us.
Uh-huh.
And when we come together, like in moments like this, when you make eye contact or you just connect, we begin to connect again with the Godhead. And for a brief moment, we experience what it was like when we were whole.
Damn, that's deep, man. What do you think? what do you think Colin was going through when he wrote that? I mean, he was pretty wise It seems like those are some wise words.
Yeah.
He was dealing with his own mortality.
But it's almost
the stuff that you in Tinfoil, like you guys would talk about stuff like this on your podcast, Tinfoil Hat.
Totally. The moment I saw Zionist in there, I was like, this guy definitely was on our spectrum, if you will. You know, it's a.
Do you know what's going to happen when I show this manuscript to my neighbors?
They
freak
out.
They're going to freak out.
Does everyone know him? Oh, because they live in the place, huh?
Because they live in where he used to live.
Are you afraid of?
No, I'm not afraid.
Ghosts?
No, well, no, I just don't. I want them to be liberated. I don't like spirits that are trapped in this. You know, it's like, have you seen that movie, The Others, with Nicole Kidman?
I hate scary movies.
But do you remember that movie, right, Bryce?
I think I remember though.
With Nicole Kidman, it was back in the early 2000s.
I can go with you. Go.
The whole point of the story is she's like living with her like her kids, and then the kids can't like be touched by sunlight in this pretty big house. But the whole movie is about how they're really dead the whole time. Mm-hmm. They're the ghosts in the house, and so at the end, it's like that M. Night kind of a twist at the end where you realize, oh my god, goodness, these are the ghosts.
He was dead the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like on some, like, remember Sixth Sense, like on some Bruce Willis stuff right there.
That was such a good twist.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to say it wasn't.
It's kind of like that where it was like, it kind of, you know, gave you goosebumps and you're like, oh my goodness. It like kind of shifted your
perception. It's fun. I've been trying to explain to people, it's fun to go down these rabbit holes that the biggest conspiracy about, I guess, me.
Yeah.
Is I don't believe a lot of conspiracies.
Right, right, right.
I don't ever just throw my hat into the game. I want to know everything, and I kind of just want to. I'm not attached. You know?
I just want to hear the information. Yeah. I'm not trying to say yours is wrong, right, or wrong. I want to just listen to the information that's offered. And there's a whole lot out there, you know, because the internet and everything.
Yeah, we're living in like an echo chamber, though. I'm afraid that, and I've noticed because the podcast has only been around now a year, and it's formation of me and Sam together.
Yeah.
And
how did you guys meet? I'm curious because since you're here, let's go through the history. Because they have their own podcast called the Tinfoil Hat.
So Tinfoil Hat podcast, yeah. Tinfoil Hat with Sam Tripoli on all things comedy.
Yeah.
We actually have a really amazing, I guess you would call it California tour coming up. Uh-huh. I don't know when this is going out.
That's
but
amazing, dude.
This Friday coming up, we're going to be doing the Belly Room.
Yeah, I saw the flyers on Instagram.
It's going to be Sam Tripoli, Eddie Bravo, Trez Mala out from Vegas. Hilarious, dude.
Yeah.
I'll be there,
too. And it's
too.
All like, the topics are all like conspiracy.
Yeah, they're going to do some comedy. They're going to do stand-up. And then afterwards, we're going to do Q&A, and I'm going to be like the Donahue out there, like taking questions.
Oh, that's so cool.
But not to avoid your question, how me and Sam met. Me and Sam met... The easiest way is I started listening to Punch Drunk Sports, even though I don't like sports.
Yeah. Then what made you do that?
I actually met Jason one day.
Okay, wait, cheers on this. Thanks for the Red Bull, by the way. I mean, the Cock Bull Ginger Beer. But keep
Hell
going.
Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as crazy as it is, so... let's see here. If you would have told me 2 years ago that I'd be doing this right now... I've been telling you, are more acid than I am. And I'd be right. But I listened to a podcast by Duncan Trussell called Demon Slaying.
I'm a big fan of his.
That's why I brought you a sticker for the wall.
Oh,
man.
Hell yeah. Yeah, Trussell, it's good. Yeah, it's good up there. Yeah, we love Duncan.
And this podcast was with a guy named Jason, and he talked about getting sober. And all I wanted in my life was to find a way to achieve like Zen and a little peace. And I thought I could do that through like...
How much time do you have now?
2 years.
Congratulations, brother. I'm proud of you, dude.
So I hear him talk about this, and I was like, that's what I want in my life. Well, I continued to do research, and eventually, you know, I fought the law, and the law won.
Yeah.
I decided to take a walk, and I end up walking into a place. I end up going to a coffee shop. I recognize a symbol.
By Vine there?
Yeah.
I know what that is.
So then
I used to go to the 430 one there.
It saved so many people, man. It's old school.
Yeah, because it was like, I remember it was by Amoeba, and you okay, babe?
You're looking regal over there.
Whenever she looks at me like that, I feel like, I'm like, is there like a ghost behind me?
Get your wall to the back.
She's looking at me like, there's like a shadow person behind me.
I wish you guys could see how
Slender Man behind me, babe. Wait, keep going.
So I start going to this coffee shop there, you know, and I end up having a conversation with a guy. And that guy, it ends up being Jason. So of all the rooms, there's 2,000 rooms in this city. Mm-hmm. Of all the rooms I'd happen to go into, I'd go into the same room where I heard the guy who inspired me to get sober on Duncan's podcast.
The same dude?
The same guy, Jason.
He happened to be... And just
after a while, like, I didn't know who he was. I never tried to seek him out, but I was listening to his voice. And one day I look up at him, I'm like, Demon Slaying. And he's like, oh yeah, I love Duncan.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is fucking crazy. So I took that as a sign from the universe.
Yeah, because really, of course. Because you have to also keep in mind, we're in LA. How many meetings, like...
How many people?
How many people 10 million are 12-step people. Meetings are there? There's tons.
Yeah. And honestly, it's a little tricky to talk about this because I know the 12-step traditions. Because people don't... But this is my story. It's crazy. So that's... I'm like, I took this as a sign. So then I decided that I would take a commitment. I took a commitment at the Pink Church.
Where's that?
Over on Fountain. Now closed. Okay. And they're like, hey, could you, you're doing a real good job with the coffee. Could you maybe help take over the meeting, blah, blah.
As secretary?
Yeah, secretary. Because they're like, our guy is in China for a month.
Okay.
And I was like, that's weird. And so for a month, I'm doing my thing, just being of service.
Yeah, good for you, yeah.
And then one day, the guy comes in, and I'm listening to Punch Drunk Sports. And he goes, hey, man, you Ryan? I'm Sam. And I turn around and I'm like, yeah, I know, I'm listening to you. And he's like, oh, you like sports? I was like, nah, I fucking hate sports. He's like, why you listen to it? I was like, it's funny. I like comedians. Yeah. So me and Sam start hitting it off. We start talking. I hear him that he's talking conspiracies all the time. And I was like, you should start your own thing. He starts his own thing in his own accord for about 10 episodes. And then I got involved.
Wow.
And it's all fucking been.
This is a crazy story.
What's the chances that the person that inspired me would then lead me to then continue. So this was my thing. The universe was saying yes. And I was like saying yes.
Yeah.
And you believe me, man, like I have failed at everything in my life. I've been fired from every single fucking job I've ever had.
Me too, brother.
Fired or quit or walked out or done the
I've been through the ringer with these jobs.
So like, I know how to fail, dude.
Me too.
I'm not afraid to fail. I'm not afraid to fall on my fucking face and bleed and look like an asshole.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to succeed. I'm afraid to rise to my optimum. Dude, I see it in you from 1 year I met you, dude.
I know. Look I cannot. Yeah, I just can't believe that. What are we at? The 60? 61. You're 61.
Dude, you're an inspiration to me, Steve.
You are
don't
too.
Know
you guys, are too to me. Like I've I don't want to. You know, you talked about the traditions and everything, and I don't want to. We're not going to get in it, but it's a direct result of me not doing drugs and alcohol. You know what I mean? And it's true because people think that some people think that I am something. But this is I'm just naturally like kind of weird. You know?
Yeah, believe me, I've been the same.
Yeah. I don't know. Just something about you and Sam. It's like it was just natural for me. Just like even when I talk with you guys, I'm like, oh, this.
Yeah, the first time we met, man, I was like, this guy's on our frequency, dude.
Yeah, yeah, because I kind of geek out on this stuff. Like literally, like she'll be sleeping and I'll literally be on my phone with my little headphones on, and I'm like heavy into Linda Moulton Howe.
Yeah,
she has a thing called Earth Files. It's a trip. The same thing with you. Like I bought this book just on a whim. I'm like, you know what, dude. Someone I heard from somewhere else to buy this book, and it's crazy. It has like cloning centers. It has reptilians, different alien species, not just reptilians. It has the Ebens and the feline.
Palladians.
Yeah, the Palladians, the feline alien. It just goes through the whole thing, and it's like a science fiction movie. But in a way, I mean, I'm like, well, what if this is real? I don't know.
I take that advice as cheesy as it is. There's this old video that Rogan did where he's like, if you could be the action hero of your own life, like, you know, what would you do? And I'm like, this is true. Like, if I could choose to do anything, I would talk about crazy, fringe, occult, paranormal topics.
And you're doing it now.
And I mean, the American dream is to get paid what you like to do.
Yeah.
But the true, like the American, I guess, like, the bliss or whatever would be to get paid to do very little what you will love to do. You know what I mean? Like to do it
all the
time.
That's what I'm doing now. I'm not getting rich off this, but this is my whole thing of doing this with Bryce and George. I mean, these guys are a blessing, by the way. The Bryce, George.
I've always
even my girlfriend, because she helps out a whole lot with the, you know, with Lil Ray and the two bunnies. But the thing is like, because like I mentioned before how I've been fired, and I know what it's like to work a job and like carrying food and you know what I mean?
And you're like, what the fuck are we doing here? Yeah, what's the point, man? Just, get up, it's, clock
it's
in.
So, it just sucks the soul out of you, man. Yeah. And my whole point is, you know, I don't have to be rich if I can just pay my rent and the Patreons are helping out with that. But it's like, I just want to, if I could do this, I'm cool with this, just doing this for now.
Yeah. And you know what, man? Yeah. It's important, as cheesy as it sounds, it's important what we do because we're inspiring people to fucking take the chance to go with your art, whatever your passion is in life, fucking do it. You only get so many years around, so many cycles around this fucking sun, dude.
And I'm late in the game, dude. Like, there's other people that I've met just through this YouTube stuff, and I'm like, oh, you've been doing it. They've been doing it 10 years. And so I'm fine with it, though. I'm not like, there's no jealousy. I'm just like, oh, okay, well, this is my calling now. I guess I'm just going to do, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
I just happen to fall upon it now, you know?
It's a beautiful thing, man. Podcasting is such a cool fucking thing. You feel like you're fly on the wall listening to conversations. I'm a biggest fan of podcasting.
I geek out on it, dude. Like, I listen
to four or five podcasts a day.
Yeah, do you listen to Quasi and Devin Madgee?
I just downloaded it, dude.
You should get him, Linda Moulton Howe, for sure. She's like the top. She's like the Mother Teresa of this, all this. She's the one.
Yeah, she's been featured on Ancient Aliens almost every season for the last 13 seasons.
Yeah, she was like an editor. She had her own HBO stuff going. She had a thing called, too, about crop circles, too, back in the day.
What do you think about that?
Dude, talk about going into a rabbit hole. There's like, in a way, the way she describes it, I was listening to it last night, it's one of two things. It's them letting us know that they're there, but it's also maybe them trying to communicate with us through binary code.
Or like with zeros, geometry.
Like, it's like 00001, 0001, 0.00, you know what I mean? And it's like they're trying to communicate with us. Because I feel like there are aliens out there that are, you know, there's evil ones, but there's like ones that want to help us.
What do you mean by evil?
Well, not evil, but like reptilians, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Based.
Yeah, yeah. But there's ones that I feel like they want to help, but they're like, it's kind of like a kid. You want your kid, you know, like you can't play the baseball game for him. He has to hold on to his own bat and strike, you know, like figure it out. You know, it's kind of like, I mean, that's like, at least my opinion.
So you've gone down all these rabbit holes.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone into Planet X, Nibiru?
Nibiru, is that the planet that's approaching Earth? Or
yeah, it's
yeah.
So Zachariah Sitchin.
Yeah, I kind of like just through like doing my own research, I've his name pops up quite a bit.
So do you know? So
I don't know much about it though.
What's crazy is back in so forever they've talked about a planet that's far beyond our close part of our solar system.
It's approaching us, right?
Yeah, and so the post-sweep Nibiru is where the Anunnaki are from.
Yeah, the reptilians, Anunnaki,
And just back in 2015, scientists at Caltech found the evidence of an exoplanet that explains why the orbits of all of our other planets are the way they are.
Oh, really?
Because if you look, it appears that everything is being pulled this direction. So in order for everything to be spinning, something would have to be over here. In such a mass that it would be... it's about 10 times the size of Earth.
I heard, and I also heard that if it makes contact with us, we're a goner. Like it's that
it
big.
Crosses,
it's like an asteroid.
It's so big. Okay, so it takes us a year to go around.
Yeah,
I think it takes them 20,000 years to go around the sun one circle. So the last time it came in close enough to our orbit was 20,000 years ago.
Jesus,
and that lines
scary
up
stuff.
A lot with like the timelines of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the Younger Dryas period. Well, that's actually 12,000 years ago. But
what freaked me out yesterday too is like how you guys were talking about it's like this might be a simulation.
Do you know the deep? I don't have the math on it. Yeah. I'm not smart. I never got higher than like.
Me neither. I'm just we're doing our own research.
But here's the basis of that I can like feed to you. So the idea is that scientists and physicists are studying gravity, mm-hmm. which. Gravitrons, I believe. So they're studying the most minute changes in gravity, which would be a change in reality, and these deep subterranean laboratories that study gravitrons. And what they're finding is in this, there's an autocorrection sequence.
Oh.
Autocorrection sequences don't exist in nature.
So the golden ratio, which makes up the human, a nautilus shell, the spiral, the circle, that's pi, 3.16. But that actually number goes, it's not. So in what we play like video games, when you walk to the edge, in order to it to continue to go forever, they put an auto correction sequence in the code so that it
extends.
It extends. So that's an unnatural thing to occur.
So is that what's going on here?
So what these scientists are saying, the more they study reality, that they're coming up with this exact same auto correction sequence at the basis of reality, seeing that it appears the more we study reality, the more it appears to be a simulation. And this is coming from scientists,
you know what? You're scaring me. This is freaking me out. Because remember the Wachowski, you know, Matrix, the Wachowski brothers? Yeah. Like even remember the neon green? It has all the 00, you know, it has like all those codes in it.
And binary code comes from, it actually comes from the I Ching, which is ancient Chinese, ones and zeros.
Oh.
And the idea of dark and light, Taoism, opposing forces.
Jeez.
So the Wachowski brothers are actually, and now they're sisters. They transitioned. Do you know that?
That's
both of them transitioned. Yeah.
You know about that, Bryce?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they know something. They know something.
So they were Buddhist, and I think they still are. And Buddhists, like most people think that Buddhist is a different religion from Hindu.
Yeah.
Buddha was the ninth incarnation of Shiva. So Hindu is older than Buddhism. But that being the case, the idea is, the Buddhists also have the idea that we're at play, that everything that's happening right now is just interaction. It's a play that's happening.
Yeah.
So all conscious beings perpetuated are by three things. And these three things are represented on a mandala wheel called samsara.
Damn,
all right.
Dude, this guy.
No, let me.
Yeah. It's weird. Just keep going with it.
I tend to have better conversations not in our studio because we have so many cameras in ours.
You're getting deep right now.
I'm in my 30s, but I was deeply in love with a woman. Her name's Lauren. She lives in Silver Lake.
Okay.
I wish her nothing but the best.
All right. Shout out to Lauren out there, you know?
She was the reason that I basically like fucked my life up so much that I was like, I need to get sober. That was an amazing woman.
Oh, that was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every morning I would wake up and I'd look up on her wall and she'd have this mandala.
Did she know what it meant? Like, did she know the meaning?
I asked her. So I'm like, what is that? And she's like, it was my brother Dave's. And I was like, oh, yeah? And I was like, that's cool. Like, I would like to talk to him about it. And she's like, he died. Mm-hmm. So her brother had schizophrenia and he killed himself.
He did.
And so I've had mental issues my life, you know, like I've suffered with stuff. So like, it was like, whoa, dude, like, I really wish I could have met this guy.
We both have mental issues right now with the thing we have.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an impulse control.
Yeah.
Giving us tools to succeed.
These are good outlets though, as far as like.
Yeah, it's healthy. Yeah. It's better than to stick something in.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I wanted to, how are we doing on time? Because this is going really well.
Sorry guys. Oh,
yeah. I know you guys have covered this, but I just discovered this like kind of recently, the Mandela effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my brother about it and he freaked out. And then I just want to go through these examples because I truly remember Nelson Mandela dying in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But supposedly he didn't die in the 80s. He died in 2013, December 5th, 2013.
Do you know why they're saying that this is even occurring? Like what they trace the Mandela effect back to?
I think I've read time travel might be another.
Have you ever heard of CERN?
You've talked about this, but go ahead.
So CERN is the world's largest machine. It's a particle accelerator. It's on the Swiss-Franco border. It's underground. And what they're doing is they're exploding particles together in order to see what makes up the smallest existence. And in that, they're trying to find the God particle, the Bose-Higgons, which they've discovered.
Yeah.
They've discovered something even smaller than that. And what they found is there are these things called quarks. They're pentaquarks, to be exact. Quarks are smaller than even atoms. Quarks are these crazy, weird combination of corkscrew-looking things, right?
Yeah.
When they explode them together, they're able to see quarks. The smallest thing they've been able to see is a pentaquark, and it's in
smaller
the shape...
Smaller than an atom.
Smaller than an atom. Smallest thing we've been able to, like, identify via computer simulation. The pentaquark is in the shape of the pentagram.
CERN.
This guy's blowing my mind, dude.
Where CERN is located.
Are you listening to this?
Okay,
it's CERN is shaped like a pentagram.
It's shaped like a pentagram. Now let's back up. Where Hold CERN up. Is located?
Where is it? Where is it located?
It's Swiss-Franco border. So in Roman times, this was a temple to Apollo.
I think we need to light some sage or something.
You will in a moment because
okay,
it hasn't even gotten
okay,
weird.
Yeah, keep so, going. Okay, I know it's going to connect to something that I'm already kind of thinking about, but keep going.
So Apollo was the god of the underworld.
Okay.
And so this was the entrance to the underworld where CERN is located. Okay, now move forward in time. Now, we're talking like we're the Gaelic, that era. There is a god by the name of Cernonius, and it's C-E-R-N-N-O-U-S. He was half goat, half man, and he represented nature. Cernonius became Pan. Pan, in Greek mythology, is half goat, half human. Pan became Satan. All right. Now, so there's all these connections of all these weird dark underworld connections to CERN, right?
So if you break this down, Satanists or people who worship Satan are in reality, they're worshiping this thing that's smaller than an atom, this little molecule thing.
Not Satanist, man, because I dated a Satanist once, and they were super sweet, and at least she was. She was super, actually, like, kind of boring, but she was super nice. But Satanists are just as boring as Christians, but sometimes. But the whole idea is where this CERN is located is also in the Hebrew text, they call it Abaddon. And in Abaddon is this bottomless pit where they threw all the demons down into hell. And so we're talking this place.
We got lights. We got some sage.
So now let's cut forward to what CERN does. If CERN smashes particles together, they're destroying things, right? They're creating tiny little black holes.
Yeah.
The idea is if you can manipulate time and space and destroy something in this universe, you basically, we slipstreamed into another existence.
Yeah. They're like wormholes. You could go through, you could pass through time itself.
Okay, so the idea of deja vu.
This is crazy. This is the craziest. I'm telling you, man, you're really taking the cake on. This is the craziest episode thus far. Usually I ask my guests, like, so how long you been a musician?
Oh, yeah.
But this, you know, right, Bryce?
We'd be having this conversation. This is like the conversations we'd be having without the mic on, so you know.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to ask you about Oscar Mayer.
So the idea is we slipped into a different reality.
Yeah, okay, so okay. Okay, thanks. Okay, let's go back.
Okay.
Because I was getting scared, you're saying so much information at once. I can tend to do that. Yeah. So is that how this happened? Because I remember it being that. Oscar Mayer. Now it's Oscar Mayer. So I remember it being that.
Well, here's the thing. What if you're from this timeline? And I'm from the other timeline. So my false memories don't match up with yours. So the real idea, Steve, is who exists? Do I exist or do you? Am I in your mind or
you
in mine?
So you're saying that you might be from a different timeline, but I'm from a different timeline. And I remember stuff differently than what you remember because you're from a whole different timeline. Like a parallel universe or something?
Mm-hmm. It's like if the dimensions are all sitting on top of one another, if CERN was to destroy a tiny particle, all it does is collapse.
It collapses on the other.
And so now we've number upstairs is now down here, and you're like, has it always been like this? And you're like, yeah, it's always been this way. One of the crazier ones is the Forrest Gump.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
And now, what do they say?
Life was like a box of chocolates.
That right there is the creepiest one because it's almost like they're trying to tell us that the Mandela effect happened. It was like a box of chocolates.
Hold up. I need a little time here. Ryan, I'm just telling you, I've seen that movie. I mean, I saw that movie, and then my mom and I got the poster, and, you know, when we were renting a house there in Chandler, Arizona, I mean, even on the VHS tape. I kid you not. If you look at the back of the VHS tape, it says life is like a box of chocolates. And that's what freaked my brother out because we're at DuPar's, you know, getting some diner food. And I go, well, what about this one? Life is, what do you remember that line being? And he went with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I
Everyone almost.
That's and the there's one. More. We're going to get into the other ones, but that freaks me out. So you're saying there's some kind of thing that there's a shift somehow.
Yeah, I think anything's possible, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah, and then I brought up the whole Back to the Future 2 analogy, too, as far as, you know, Biff.
Biff stole the
DeLorean and... somehow in the timeline he
because he was able to bet on the sports event.
He had the almanac. He had the almanac of future sporting events. Remember? Mm-hmm. And so he got that, and then it gave it to the old young Biff. So the young Biff got rich because he knew all the outcomes of these sports games, and that's how he got that casino and became a millionaire or whatever.
Some next level shit.
So let's go on to the next one. That's only number one. Are we good on time? Okay. This is another one. I kid you not, I remember Sex in the City.
Yeah.
But it's not that. It's Sex and the City.
And the City.
That Bryce? Just...
Sex and the City is what I remember.
Wait, he's from a different...
Yeah, I know.
I'm from the other side.
You're from the other side. Babe? Huh? Sex in the City or Sex and the City?
Sex and the City.
But what they say, what do you remember?
I remember In the City.
There we go,
so
brother.
We're from here.
So they're from the other one. We're from here. Okay, let's go.
What?
Okay. Well, we won't do that. Okay, this one freaked my brother out too. People think that the Monopoly man, rich uncle, Pennybags, has a monocle, but he really doesn't. I remember always seeing the monocle on his...
Oh, yeah, dude.
Come on, dude.
Him and Mr. Peanut with the monocle dudes.
I remember that, right? On the left. But the reality, the shift... the result is that him never having the monocle at all. That boggles my mind.
Some weird ones, right? You know, because we did a whole episode. What's crazy? We did it with Detective 47, the guy who made our intro.
Mm-hmm.
And man, he came up with some crazy ones. So
okay, well, we're just these are just the basic ones. The tip of Pikachu's tail isn't black.
Nah, dude, that it isn't black.
Well, it. Don't you remember?
Dude,
like
I remember
that?
Being black.
It is black.
No, it isn't.
That's nuts, dude. So did you show it? Do you tell Bob this? Because
no, I didn't tell him about the Pikachu one. I'm just seeing it for the first time now. That one's weird. Okay, this is the famous one, the Berenstain. I remember Berenstain, but it's Berenstain now.
Stain.
Like it's Berenstain Bears.
Have you ever met a Berenstain in your life?
No.
I've met Berensteins before.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's...
Yeah, so that one was the major... This boggles my mind. Curious George never had a tail. Are you kidding me? I remember seeing the tail, right, Bryce?
No tail. I don't remember tail.
Well, so you're telling me Curious George is a chimpanzee? He's not like... He should be a
tail.
Capuchin, you know?
The tail.
Yeah.
So, Bryce, you don't remember him with the tail. Okay. Jeez, Louise.
We should have been kept in score.
Okay, this is a new one. Chick-fil-A is not spelled Chick-fil-A or Chick-fil-A. We're just going to skip that. Okay, this is a big one. Darth Vader never said, Luke, I am your father. But I was watching a video last night. I was like looking up stuff on Metal. There's this guy that had the old toy from back, you know, that Star they put out. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was Hasbro. I don't know what company. But if he put the battery in and it said, because it was, they had the speaker coming out of Darth Vader, you know, that scene, that famous scene in Empire Strikes Back.
What did it say?
It said, Luke, I am your father. But the real line is, I am your father. No Luke.
It's just, even for writing, you'd need that preface to make it dramatic, you know?
Yeah. Oh my
God. So we're not getting to the bottom of this.
C-3PO isn't all gold.
They're saying he has one red arm or something?
I think one of his many Star Wars fanatics recall C-3PO being completely gold and were greatly thrown off of discovering that he's supposedly had a silver leg the entire time. Do you remember that, Bryce? Do you remember 3PO having one silver leg?
His leg gets damaged by his Jawas?
Right, it's this part of his leg, I think it's his right
when
leg.
When was he disassembled, remember?
In Empire Strikes by Lando's peeps? In Cloud City by Lando's peeps?
Yeah, so that... No.
I don't know, man. Wait, are there some ones that are missing? People think the Mona Lisa is smiling now, but she used to be emotionless. I remember her with no emotion, just like a straight line, like just.
Has there ever been more of a boring painting that's famous as shit? Like,
yeah, I know.
Who gives a fuck?
Kit Kat doesn't have a dash. Okay.
I love how like the Mandela effect happens. It's such
unique. This is a big one. People remember Sinbad in the 90s. He was in a movie that called Kazam. But now he's denying that there was no movie that exists called Kazam. He was never in one.
Dude, I'm gonna ask him next time I see him at the comedy store.
Oh, you've seen him?
I'm gonna just pop
okay.
Up.
This is the Forrest Gump we already talked about. Hannibal Lecter never said hello, Clarice.
I've never seen that movie, but I love that song, Cue Lazarus.
Oh, okay.
Cue Goodbye Horses. Is that right?
Wait, Interview with the Vampire isn't called Interview with. It's called Interview with a Vampire? No, it's Interview with the Vampire.
So the real crazy thing will be is what if
look
I
at my
she's making you feel a little crazy.
I like it, dude.
She hates the Mandela. I love it. Well, are we missing some main ones? You mentioned the
Mandela effect. No, yeah. I'm not too versed in it. It's one of those ones where it's like,
oh, this is a big one. Before, didn't mean to cut you off. This in the Snow White, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Mm-hmm. Is that the line?
Yeah.
It's not.
What's the line?
Magic mirror on the wall, not mirror, mirror.
That's ridiculous. No. Bryce. It's mirror, mirror on the wall.
Bryce.
I don't remember.
I remember that.
Mirror, mirror.
Magic mirror.
Oh, man.
She's from somewhere else.
So if she's from somewhere else and you're from here, if you guys have a child, what if it has both memories? You know that memories is genetic? Have you ever heard, like, they did this study where they gave an electrical shock to mice every time they smelled cherry blossom.
Yeah.
And then they let them breed, right? And then the ones that had never been shocked, they'd let them smell the cherry blossom and they reacted like they were being electrocuted.
Get the hell out of here.
So traumatic events are actually can be like given down through genetics. So it explains in areas where war-torn countries, you know?
Yeah. What's scaring me right now is my dog's laying on a Collins manuscript.
He's trying to get closer to him.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm sorry. My mind, I'm freaked out now as far as like, there's a possibility that we are not, I mean, because my brother thought that he had already passed away. He died already. My brother said that he really vividly remembers him being in a car accident on Fountain. And I forgot the other cross street.
But had he ever mentioned this before?
No, but that's why he freaked out so much, because he thinks that he's in an alternate reality because I started talking about the Mandela effect. And he's like, dude. And like, we were in CVS. He was freaking out.
Dude.
Yeah.
Your brother. And,
yeah.
I don't know your brother that well. Yeah. But let me tell you something, man. Your brother has been, he was there for me in a weird way. We recorded at the Comedy Store.
He loves you, by the way. I told him you're coming on. He's like, I love that guy, man.
I fucking really, dude, yeah, you don't know. Yeah.
He remembers you.
He's a sweetheart. So like, I ran into an ex-girlfriend that I made amends with a while ago.
At the store?
She was outside the store.
Okay.
And I just like waved and she looked at the ground like, psh, like this motherfucker. And I was like, God damn. Like, and so I was hurt, dude. And I was like,
well, that's not your business. You did your part.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was about to cry, man, and Bobby sees me, and you know, I try not to leave those comedians alone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, hey, hippie dick, what's wrong with you? And I was like, nothing. And he's like, tell me. And you know your brother, dude, he will get it out of you.
Yeah, yeah, he's good at that.
Man, all I gotta say, dude, is that he was there for me. He said some fucking super kind things, dude. And Bobby may be a kook and tiger belly or whatever. He's a fucking sweetheart.
Yeah.
And
people don't really know my brother's he's a good dude.
He's fucking beautiful.
And he's helped a lot of people out here, dude. Like, people don't, you know, like, people out here, they're usually just about themselves and like, I need to make it at the top. My brother's helped a lot of people a lot.
And it explains why he's getting all this good shit now, dude. Don't you see that?
I mean, he deserves it.
I'm honored to be a part of like the Tiger Belly, Stevie Weeby, like your whole little family. Like when I went over there, and because I went to the Tiger Belly when Sam did it, and I was sitting there and I got to see.
Oh, you went to a spot?
Yeah, it's like in the corner there. I got to see how the fudge was packed, and I was like, dude, I love these guys. These guys are real legit motherfuckers, and you don't find that in this town, dude.
No.
You find fake. The Greeks wore masks, and these masks were called personas. Personas had these shapes of a funnel so they could project their voices during performances. So actors have always put on a mask. People that have always wanted to perform have put on a mask.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about someone is a real has a real personality, you're saying he's really fake, you know? Because to really be who you are is to take that fucking mask off.
Right.
And that's what I've done, dude, since day one. I think that's all it's come through with, like, me and Sam being as, like, close as we are.
Yeah.
He's a lunatic, but he knows I'm crazy as fuck, too.
So
we work together, man.
It's so weird how you guys just linked up, and now you have, like, this successful podcast that's growing, and it's, like, you'd be doing it anyway, it seems. I don't know you that well, but it seems if you didn't have this thing, you'd be talking about this type of stuff with, like, your good homies or whatever. You know what I mean? Over coffee.
I'm honored to be a part of this because, dude, I know we're living in a simulation because there's no fucking way that I should be talking to you right now.
And let me tell you something. I agree with you. There's no way I should be in a band. And like with David Cho and Money Moore, you know what I'm saying,
dude?
Like, there's no way. I mean, like,
so you should be happy that we're in the simulation.
You have no idea. I skipped wrestling practice when I, you know, when I wrestled to see the Cypress Hill and the Beastie Boys, and the Rollins Band. And I remember I was like a junior, like watching the performance, like, oh my God, these, and then it's like one of the, like, 'cause Money Mark, like, shout out to Money. I want a part two with, you know, Money Mark. He's helped me out a lot, but like just like. Like, just, it trips me out.
Comes across, man, is that you're a genuine dude. Like,
yeah.
Moment, I remember I shook your hand, I looked in your eyes, and I was like, I like this guy. And dude, and that's rare nowadays. Like, how often do you get out of LA? Like, you get the fuck out of LA. Do you see the real world? Because this isn't real, man. This is not real.
You know what?
Real.
We've been, me and my girlfriend, we've been talking a lot about, like, getting out of Dodge here. I mean, especially with the stuff that's been going on the last day or two. Like, this is, like, on some weird, creepy, like, Forensic Files, like Blair Witch, weird things that are happening, like, literally right outside my window.
You're talking about going on a little vacation, get out of Dodge, or just maybe moving?
I don't know. I just know I need to get out of Hollywood.
Dude, this town is gnarly.
Hollywood is crazy. Hollywood. Let me tell you something. People don't realize it. They look at the glitz and the glamour. Oh, Hollywood, the Walk of Fame, or ooh, Universal. It's like, dude, it's not like that. It's like you'll see the craziest. I mean, there's people here like people that walk back, you're like crackheads, like holding knives, and like we catch them on camera. You know, there's crazy people out here, like out of their mind crazy.
Especially in this, where you're at, man, a good 20 miles in every direction is pretty fucking loony, dude. I'm not
I have
gonna
a theory
joke.
About that too. Like, let's go back into the tinfoil hat form.
Strap it on.
I'm not going to give you the location, obviously, just to protect my privacy. But we live pretty close to the Kodak Theater here.
Yeah.
Around here.
Not too far.
And I already kind of talked about this, but dude, there's like, me and my girl were crossing the street where from the Hard Rock Cafe to the Jimmy Kimmel building.
Oh, yeah.
And it says, there's a quote, it's engraved in the stone right above. And no one even talks about it. They're not even looking up there. But I always look at it. I'm like, there it is. It says, Freemasonry is built on the hearts of, what is it?
Men.
Of men. Yeah. Or something like that. And it's literally written on the Jimmy Kimmel building. And let me tell you something. I feel this is my own. I just feel it inside. There's some weird, I don't know if it has to do with pentagrams or Anunnaki or Illuminati, but there's something like that I feel like there's an Illuminati chapter right there. Kimmel knows about it. Other cats know about it. And if you cross the street, that mall, that ain't no normal mall, dude.
Yeah, it's all designed Babylonian.
That is a
ancient
design,
Sumerian.
You know, that is designed that way for a purpose. Even if you look at the architecture, the way it's mapped out when you're like in the middle of like at the bottom, it's mapped out a certain way. And then the biggest Hollywood event annually is held there?
Oscars. It's like a little temple to the Sumerian gods.
Yeah, it's almost totally. Like on a yearly basis, they're giving homage to Anu, or you know what I mean. And then right across, oh, like how convenient. There's the. I mean, what do you think about this stuff?
Man, I.
Because I'm telling you that you're telling me why I would want to move. It's because I believe in energy. Like,
dude, there's a lot of it affects me, man. You know what I mean? The Comedy Store, because we recorded.
Well,
the basement,
I don't like hanging
bro.
Out there. I mean, I like, my brother goes there. It's like his second home. But that's a scary place.
Remember the scene from Ghostbusters 2 when they're testing the goo and everyone's getting like they're playing a happy song and it's jumping around and being happy. But then when they're getting angry, it like amplifies their anger and fear. You remember this part for that shit?
It's been years. I have to rewatch. I remember the first Ghostbusters.
So it's like the idea that it amplifies whatever energy is around. So the store, we're down in the basement.
Yeah,
there.
Go ahead.
And we record there. We do our Patreon.
No, wait, just for the viewers, it's the Comedy Store.
Yeah, the Comedy Store right there on Sunset. And so we record there on Sunday nights and we're down there.
Oh, you guys record Tinfoil Hat there?
We record our Patreon. So our paid subscribers, whoever want that,
Tinfoil
Hat
idea.
/
yeah.
Patreon. Brody Stevens was sitting in. It was me and Sam. And
I'm a fan of his. I like him.
Brody is such a good dude.
He's a funny dude, yeah.
He would do this in a heartbeat, man.
He would?
Yes.
Is he into this type of?
He is into some crazy, some skit that will freak you out, bro.
Like the crazier than what you've been talking about?
I'll let him speak for himself.
All right, let's just keep a note on that, on Brody. Yeah, but keep going, like, back to the store.
So, we were talking about something, and somehow, like, everything, the energy started getting more and more, like, negative. Yeah. And Brody's a real positive guy. His whole thing is, like, positivity.
He's got that vibe.
And, man, shit hit the fan. We never released this Patreon because me and Sam got into, like, a crazy, like,
fight.
We had it out. But... I was like, once he left and I was sitting there and I was like, I felt like I was like high off of like a weird high. And I was like, dude, and Brody's like, it's the basement. It's the store, man. You got to get out of here. It's the energies here. And I was like, what the shit? He's like, yeah. And I was like, man. And he was like, I didn't go back to the Comedy Store for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I felt like I cleansed my soul.
Yeah,
I try not to hang out there that much. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, I believe in that stuff, man.
But downstairs is fucking creepy because people have been murdered there 100%.
Give them a little backstory on the store, like, because you know some history there.
Yeah, I know some history.
It used to be
an
Italian mafia hangout spot, right?
In the 20s and 30s, it was like an illegal abortion clinic, so they talk about, they hear babies crying there, and supposedly they did it down the basement.
What about that window above the OR? Isn't that like for guns?
Mickey Cohen, this is like, this was his hangout spot, and he was a mobster. Chopped up fools down in the basement.
Were there abortions that happened there too?
But ahead of time, yeah. And then after that, you know, sky's the limits. Supposedly Sam Kinison was connected with Satanists and they were trying to summon entities down there. Yeah, dude.
That's right. About this stuff? I know I'm a fan of his comedy. I had no idea he was mixed up with stuff like that. I know I know that he was partying like coke and
that's who,
the rock star life.
Imagine back in the 80s, some supposed Satanist, because I don't know, Matt. Like, it is what it is, you know.
Rest in peace, Mitzi, but did you meet her?
No.
Yeah. So you still want to do that? sleepover there?
Yeah, so my idea is...
I'm not getting near the basement, but I'm not going in different rooms. I'll go with you guys.
I won't sleep in the basement, but my idea is each of us sleep in a different room by ourselves, and we have our own device, and we talk into it, or we just, you know, record what happens.
Can Bryce be there to document it?
I think the idea is we all got to be by ourselves. So one of us sleeps on the OR stage, one of us sleeps on the main room, and one of us sleeps upstairs on the belly room. It won't be sleeping. I mean, they close at 3 a.m. The sun rises 7, so we're only maybe be locked inside there.
Where's the other location you mentioned yesterday? Downtown, where that...
So the Cecil Hotel is now called the Stay at May. In the state of Maine.
In downtown LA?
Yeah, it's this old school historic hotel, and there's been like suicides there, multiple different serial killers. Richard Ramirez stayed there when he was murdering people. But more recently, her name was Elsa Lam. Elisa Lam.
She's a Chinese.
Lisa Lam? There we go.
Elisa.
ELISA, right?
ELISA.
She's a Chinese lady, yeah. Right?
She's Chinese.
I saw the footage of her in the elevator, man.
So she came, for some reason, she came to LA and that's where she stayed. And then the footage is her in an elevator and she peeks her head out and she's like freaked out. And that was the last known footage of her. Then the people start complaining that the water pressure is low. And so it's like a couple of weeks go by. The guy goes up on the roof. In order to get to the roof, you have to unlock the door. And then you have to get upstairs, get a passcode, then unlock a door. And then to get into the water tank, you need to put an 8-foot ladder. And then you need to undo a lock.
So he has to do all those things just to have access up
to the water tank. So he goes up, checks the water tank, and in there he finds Elisa or whatever, in there,
her
naked. Well, her clothes are in there as well, but it's like she got in there, took off her clothes, and she had been in there for... So how she was able to gain access to that, no one knows.
That's insane. Do you want to start with that place?
And so my idea is for us to find her exact room number. And for us to go there and record a podcast at 3:33 a.m., which is the witching hour. And maybe we can help her out, though. Maybe we can.
Is the hour. I saw a video like that is the hour for that kind of activity.
But I think with our positive energy, we could maybe help her like transition to maybe just you know.
You got
to
give her liberation, man. You got to free her soul there from that location.
It's all about liberation.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You got to liberate the spirit, man. Let it ascend up to different dimensions, man. You know?
The Hindus call it liberation moksha.
You got to do the moksha then. You know what I mean?
I wanted to finish what I was telling you about that samsaric wheel because you'll see this now.
Go ahead.
So at the center of all sentient beings, what propels us forward are three ideals or three concepts, and they're represented in the center of this mandala by three animals.
Animals?
The first animal is a pig.
Okay.
And the pig is ignorant. Mm-hmm, all right. Mm-hmm. And when you're ignorant, your head is down and you're selfish, right? And so then it's biting onto the tail of a snake, and a snake represents fear. So when you're ignorant or ignorant in your actions, the way you treat people and the way that you interact in the world, you then are basically, you're like afraid of what's happening. So your way to lash out is like a snake, is to be fearful. So it's your reptilian response. Reptilians only know just to...
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we have ignorance, fear, and then it's biting on the tail of a bird. And this bird is a very special bird because it mates for life. And this bird represents attachment. So
what, to the physical?
To the physical realm, but attachment to in general. Because these three things are what if you attempt to achieve enlightenment or whatever you want to call it. They asked the Dalai Lama in an interview one time, you've been a Buddhist your entire life. What have you gotten from it?
And what was his response?
He said, I haven't gotten anything, but what I've lost is ignorance, fear, and attachment. Because these things are like a coal that only burn you as long as you hold it. So when you let go of your fear and you're aware of your ignorance and you're no longer attached, because like, you know, love is an attachment. I've only cared about one thing more than drugs in my life, and that's love. And that's the best fucking drug out there.
Yeah.
So when your body is attached to someone, your soul, your spirit, they feel like they make up who you are.
Yeah. That's deep. Because like I'm thinking about like ghosts, like people that are still trapped in this.
So they're attached.
They're attached to
something.
And
they're afraid.
Yeah, they're afraid to let go and just... Have you seen a movie back in the day called Jacob's Ladder?
No, but I always hear reference on a show I like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you seen this movie? No. You got to watch this movie, man. It made me think of that because I don't want to ruin it for you, but you would dig it, man. Jacob's Ladder. I don't want to ruin it, but just watch it, man. If you can tonight or this week, if you can, because it makes me think of that because at the end, like it's like. He kind of, you know.
This is the conversations I have with, honestly, man, this is what I talk about all the time. Because at the end of the day, the only thing that's important is the real things. you know, like real, real things.
Yeah.
The things they tell us not to talk about in polite conversation is politics, sex, religion, race. I'm pretty sure that's what fucking makes us a human.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not afraid to talk about this because I'm not afraid to be who I am. I'm not afraid to take off my fucking persona and show you that I am flawed. Mm-hmm. I am just like you, trying to fucking get by and have no idea what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah,
and we're on a ball that's falling through space, the abyss, and that it's spinning out of control, and no one is driving the fucking bus.
Right. Jeez. Wow, man. How we doing on time? This has been a great one.
Keep going.
I wanted to kind of touch upon the stuff we were talking about yesterday about artificial intelligence.
Hell yeah.
We talked about Elon Musk. This is going to be an important name, you know, in the upcoming
years.
Oh, yeah. Because Elon Musk, the CEO of a lead designer at SpaceX, CEO of Tesla. This guy's a billionaire. He's dating Grimes. Dating Grimes. Peace out to Grimes, the singer. The singer Grimes.
She's dope.
But he said, he said, AI could be an existential threat. We are summoning the demon. And then that scares me because we're getting to a point in our technology. I mean, look at this thing that I'm holding. This is it starts with this because we're attached to this, right? I mean, I can't lie. I mean, I haven't checked it because I want to be present with you. But most kids out there they can't. I observe. You know, I'll observe. We go to supplantation. I'll observe kids.
Classic.
I observe whatever. But kids, especially the younger ones, cannot get off this. So it starts with that, and then it just escalates, and then it goes to a place where it's going to go to the Oculus, where, and they've already given the hits out, Ready Player One, where you're literally in a virtual world. You're putting on this headset thing.
Yeah, right? DARPA's creating a contact lens so that you can have like augmented reality, like literally like
Black Mirror stuff.
We'll say you'd be like Yelp Mirror of your neighbor. So you go down the street and you'd be able to see like a ghost above this house. You're like, and then you access it and you're like, oh, Colin died there in 1928.
Oh, like Google's priority, like in.
And then I look at you. Yeah. People tell me to watch Black Mirror and I swear I probably would love it, but I can't watch shit that I know is fake. I like nature shows. I like stand-up comedy and like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Other weird ancient alien shit.
Yeah. Right. But the end result is implantable is what I mentioned. Like being an implantable, like basically fusing into a cyborg.
Transhumanism is what they call it.
Transhumanism.
There's the, I think it's the 2045 initiative, and it's built by this Russian billionaire named Dmitry of some evil Russian name. And the idea is it's a system of scientists, all different people from walks of life that are trying to find a way to download consciousness into a computer so they can upload it into.
Because that's what Linda was talking about too, these cloning centers where they do have clones already, and then what they do is a human that's breaking down, with the clone that's in this tube, they'll just it's crazy, but they'll take that consciousness and insert it into this new clone body. And I don't want to start saying names or anything of who, like these artists that like are supposed
to, Kanye West,
yeah,
Taylor Swift,
clones, but it kind of gets you thinking like, whoa, if this thing's in existence right now, it's not looking good for us.
So in 50 years, we went from flying airplanes made of wood and canvas to launching a space shuttle.
Into space.
So we went in 50 years that big, right? Like there's people that saw horse and buggy and then go up into space.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen now, like in the next couple of years?
It's going to be scary, man. Like, so what are, as far as preventative measures, like how do we prepare ourselves when this happens? Like, I mean, because we're talking about like loading up now on canned foods or learning how to plant our own foods.
And there's no, why freak yourself out?
Yeah.
The world we live in these conspiracy worlds, it's so easy to freak yourself out, man. Like I cut myself off at like 9 PM on videos. Like the fact that you stay up late watching, I can't do it, man. I will stay up. I'll sleep with the lights on. I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to admit it, dude. Mm-hmm. Like I'm an Eagle Scout. I grew up out in this, like, growing up, I was out in the woods. So I still like to go out in the woods. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have this shit in my head, be like, oh, remember that? Remember House of Thousand Corpses? Like, but I don't know, man.
So we just have to just do what we're doing, and then, you know, I just don't want to fall victim. Like, I do not want some kind of intelligence or, like, any kind of technology to be infused in my human body, you know? And I know that there's people that...
Well, how come? Why?
Well, like, you know, like, you guys were rebutting that because it would probably make you live longer, less disease, you know, be less prone to diseases. But I'm willing to just... If that's my natural way to go, I'd rather go, like, just like my lineage is gone, you know, like, you know, I don't know if I want to be the Stevie with, you know, that is 143 years old still.
There's a story of a guy in China that lived to be 263 years old.
Naturally?
Naturally, by taking, like, herbs and all, living off this crazy diet. And it's been a hard time to figure out that whether it's, like, false or not. It seems like he lived to be 263 years. He was born in the 1700s, and, like, people remember being a kid, and then, like, he was still around, you know, like.
What was he eating? What kind of?
It's an episode of Down the Road I've been thinking of doing. There's so many. I used to think, like, man, maybe we're going to run out of things to talk about. Never, dude.
Never, yeah. Because this, we're over an hour, right? Dude, this is great. We got to definitely get you for a part 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, we'll just hang out all the time, man. Yeah. Let's go for a hike, dude.
That's what I'm talking about. I think that's what's missing nowadays is I'm a gamer, you know what I mean? I like my tablets and my gadgets or whatever, but I know that I need to be getting out more.
Let's go in nature.
It makes me feel good. Like, we took a trip to Lake Gregory and we swam in Lake Arrowhead, and it was one of the best times of my life. You know, right, babe?
They say 2 hours of nature sounds a day, like decreases the chance of, like, so many fucking diseases. Like,
the sun, like, people don't even get out in the sun. Like, you know, we need that, you know? We haven't even gotten to sun gazing because there's a whole thing about sun gazing. And
we could totally do another part two, man.
Yeah, part two coming up, dude. Thanks, brother. Great.
Why don't you go to 10th Planet, man? I know you have a wrestling background.
I do. I mean, I do need to get rid of this.
Let's go roll sometime, dude.
Are you training?
It's been months since I've gone, and I've been like, I need to get back. I fucking love it, dude.
It is the
funnest thing you can imagine.
Eddie got you a deal?
Oh, yeah, dude, you're all around here, man. There's HQ. You can go roll with Eddie, dude.
With Eddie Bravo?
Yeah, he's there weekly.
That's like the sensei right there, huh?
He's our homie, man.
Yeah, yeah. He's got his own conspiracies, huh?
Dude, I loved his episode. His episode.
Oh, yeah.
He's so good.
I couldn't even get a word in. I was just literally sweating. Remember that night? Were you here or George was here? But I just remember once he started doing the flat earth, I was just like, oh, here we go. It's going to be 20 minutes.
20 but doesn't minutes it seem like we're in a simulation? You're interviewing Eddie Bravo in your house.
It tripped me out, dude. Not only that, just like all the guests that we've gotten here, I'm like, there's no way. I mean, Sasha Gray was over here. Like, what the hell? What is Sasha Gray doing over here? She came.
Dude, we got to just accept that, man. This life is just going to get crazier and crazier in every direction.
I want Tom DeLonge. So, Tom, if you know, I reached out to Tom.
Too.
I went to high school with Tom. And, really? you know, he's deep into this.
Oh, yeah.
To the Stars Academy, all that stuff.
I'll let you know something after the mics.
Did you guys reach
out
to him?
I'll tell you something afterwards.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, let's. This is the time where there's nothing in the P.O. box today, but can we give get some of your social out there?
Oh, yeah, man. Follow us on Tinfoil Hat Pod on Instagram. Mm-hmm. If you guys want to email us about any suggestions for future topics of shows, tinfoilhatpod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Follow Sam Tripoli at Sam Tripoli. And, yeah, man, come out to... If you guys are in San Francisco, it's going to be Friday, June 1st. That's next Friday.
Okay.
We're going to be at the Cobbs Comedy Club in San Francisco doing Tinfoil Hat Comedy Night.
Amazing, dude.
And Q&A. And then we set something up with whoever brings the most person gets to go in the back.
Yeah.
And do a live podcast with Eddie and get smoked out with Eddie and have a full on.
So he still could smoke and do jiu-jitsu? And like
most guys smoke. Okay.
And they roll around?
Some people can control their shit. We're just not
okay. What about your personal?
I have zero social media. I don't, I've never have, never will. No Facebook, no Instagram, no Twitter, no nothing, man. I don't want nothing.
Well, what's the reasoning behind that? That's interesting. Like, why? Isn't that cool? I mean, she's going to do it too.
It's great, dude. It's the best thing you
feel
can
like
do.
Free?
I've never had it. I've never had anything.
You never
ever.
Had Instagram or Facebook?
I never had MySpace, never had Facebook, never.
But Tinfoil Hat has one.
Yeah, Tinfoil Hat. Check us on our Instagram, man. Mm-hmm. Follow us and shit, dude. Steve's going to be coming back on, dude. You're a part of our family,
man. Oh, dude, for sure. For sure, dude. For sure. I got to give a couple shout-outs to... there's some new Patreons. And shout-out to all the Patreons because they keep this show alive. Joshua R. Vuk, Dan Katakutin, Sage Akhtar, Ben Weiner... And Ben, I just sent you that portrait, so you should be getting that shortly. Matthew Popov, John Dutton, and Demtro. And for the people that have checked out the music on my Bandcamp, these are the new people that have bought albums or donated. Zachary Edgar, Galen O'Neill, Sam Coyne, and Jason Kang. If you want to send stuff, we have a P.O. box for the Steve Beebe Show at 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. Check out StevieWeebeBandcamp.com. Lil Ray's World Volume 4 is available, as well as all these other EPs and albums that I've done. Not all of them are up there, but they'll eventually all be up there. Two Bunnies, make sure that's the new Instagram attached to the Steve Beebe Show. It's the thing you're about to watch. Oh, Amazon, www.amazon.com/shop/ Stevie Weeby. Okay, so we're now an Amazon subscription.
Dang, we got to get that.
Yeah, oh yeah, we'll talk about that too. So Mongchi, we had a good time at Grizzly Fest, and one thing I wanted to put that out in the universe is we don't have any booking agents. You would think we would, but we don't. So if we end up being a festival band, I would love that. So if there's any booking agents or managers or anyone that wants to rep us so we could continue doing more shows, like I love performing and doing music, so reach out to me, or can they hit the stevieweebyshow@gmail.com? Yeah, so hit me up on my Instagram, Kwangu, Q-U-A-N-G-O-U, or the stevieweebyshow@gmail.com. With that being said, it's time for... Love you, brother. Thanks for coming.
Thanks, you, man.
It's time for Lil Ray's World. Yeah. Click.
Welcome to Lil Ray's World Show. Gotta say his kids' minds must grow. I got abducted by some aliens, dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck into a world that I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, hey. So welcome to my world. To all the boys and girls.
Welcome to Little Ray's World.
What the hell do we got this week, Beep? Looks like a god dang booger, man. Your name is Lucas the Mucus, is that correct? Well, what's your story, man? How'd you end up a piece of mucus, man? Well, your dad was a cartoonist and your mother was a Buddhist, and they left you all alone, and you ate your own booger and choked and ate your own booger and you died, didn't you? Well, I don't know if I'll touch you, but you can hang with me and Beep. And we wrote a song about you. It goes like this, man. This one's called Lucas the Mucus,
Lucas
man.
Lucas the Mucus man.
Lucas the Mucus was surely not the cutest kid. His dad was a cartoonist and his mother was a Buddhist. If Lucas was a pause button, yep, he would be muted. Cupid should have held back the arrow inside the Buick. The place he was conceived, man, they knew was just stupid and fruitless to birth a human baby like a tulip. Neglectful parenting is not that therapeutic when you can't communicate and just throw your kid a Rubik's Cube. That's ruthless. You folks are just playing jokes to me and clueless. One day you left Lucas all alone. That's abusive. With the blood of Judas in you and too busy blending juices. Lucas choked on his own booger and turned bluish. Parents found him pale and whiter than the snow in Munich. Insert some sad music on his burial unit. Lucas turned to mucus, hope his parents catch lupus. What a useless way to go, you know we got your back. Lucas, the mucus, Lucas, the mucus, Lucas, the mucus.
Join us next week for another episode of Lil Ray's World, man.